Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. Lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. There are many virtues and blessings of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. People used to ask the awliya and the ulama, the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can we transform our lives? There is so much going on, there is so much happening around us. We do not know which step to take that we can reform and better our lives. So the ulama and the awliya, they would give a very simple formula. They would say every night, before you go sleep, recite durood and salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Recite when no one is looking. Recite when no one can hear you. Recite in the darkness of your room where you feel connected with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by the means of you reciting this durood and salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will illuminate your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the rust of your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will connect you with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And once that connection is established, then you automatically will have hatred for sins. You automatically would want to be a better person. Just like a son does not want to disappoint his parents, without any comparison, as an ummati, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is more dearer to us than our own parents. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to the Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I love you more than everything except myself. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied that, Umar, your iman is not complete. And then Umar radiallahu anhu quickly said, Ya Rasulullah, you are dearer to me than my own life. Upon which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Umar, you have fulfilled your iman, you are a complete believer now. So the fact that for a Muslim, the most important individual, the most important connection he should have is with Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who abundantly recite salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and those who do not weaken this connection, and those who do not leave this connection. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Welcome back to the program, The Lives of the Prophets, The Life of the Anbiya's alayhim as-salatu was-salam, in which we talk about different prophets, their lives, their biographies, what we can take from them, what we can use to scare ourselves, what lessons we can learn from those. And we have covered the life of very great Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. We have covered the life of Adam alayhi salam. We have covered the life of Shifa alayhi salam. We have covered the life of Idris alayhi salam. We have covered the life of Nuh alayhi salam. We have covered the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We have covered the life of Ismail alayhi salam. And today we are going to cover briefly the life of Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam. And if we have time, then we will talk about another prophet as well. It has been said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has briefly mentioned Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wa salam in 6 blessed surahs, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Ishaq and things in relation to him or his story at different 6 different places of the Holy Quran. The blessed name Ishaq is a word from the Hebrew language and means Dahaq. Dahaq, for my Arabic speakers, know that it means happy and cheerful. Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam also had the privilege that he was named by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the news of his birth was given. Once Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he comes home and he sees that there are young people present at his house, and he says, who have let you in? And they say that we are guests at your house. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam becomes happy and he makes a feast and he puts the feast in front of them. But what he sees is a very strange incident, that they do not extend their hand out to eat the food. Then Sayyidina Ibrahim asks them, why are you not stretching your hand out to eat the food? And they reply that we are the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the malaika and we are not in need of any food. Then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam asks them, now what is the reason for your visit? What is the reason for you coming here. The angels say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us that we come to you and we give you a glad tiding of an intelligent boy which your wife will bear. Sayyidatuna Sara radiallahu anha was listening to this behind the door and she became extremely happy, to which the angels, they gave the glad tidings of two sons to Sayyidatuna Sara radiallahu anha. And the wisdom behind this is, firstly, a woman is naturally more happy when she hears the news of expectation, meaning when she hears the news of pregnancy and she's going to be a mother, she automatically feels more happy. And the second reason that the ulama mentioned is that instead of giving Ibrahim the news of two children, they gave it to Sayyidatuna Sara radiallahu anha, is because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam already had a child. So he knew the excitement and the feelings which go when you receive the good news of having a child, whereas it was something new for Sayyidatuna Sara. So they gave her this privilege. Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam was stunningly handsome. All prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very beautiful, but some have been specifically described, such as Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, whose story we will cover in the coming episodes inshallah. But Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam was stunningly handsome. Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiallahu anhu says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Ishaq alayhi salam radiant and the delight of his parents' eyes. He alayhi salam had the most beautiful face amongst men and was most handsome and possessed captivating speech, that when he would speak, people would be captivated with his speech. His complexion was white and the hair on his head and beard was curly. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. He greatly resembled Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in appearance and characteristics. In relation to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave glad tidings of this, as it is mentioned in the Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, and we gave him the glad tidings of Ishaq, that he will be a conveyor of the unseen news, a prophet for amongst those who deserve our proximity. Meaning Prophet Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam was one of those prophets who was very dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam was sent as a prophet to ancient Palestine. This was the blessed area in which Sayyidina Ibrahim, the father of prophets, lived his life. And Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam too was brought up amongst these people as well. Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam did not have a specific or certain book which was revealed to him, but rather he carried on with the message of his father Ibrahim alayhi salam. The sharia which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam brought, he carried on the mission for that and he spread that mission. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, translation from Kanzul Iman. Indeed, we sent revelation to you, O beloved, just like we sent revelations to Nuh and the prophets after him. And we sent revelations to Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Ya'qub and his sons and Isa and Ayyub and Yunus and Harun and Sulaiman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the name of these glorious Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. And regarding this revelation, we are given the following instruction in the Holy Quran. Translation from Kanzul Iman, O Muslims, say in this matter that we believe in Allah and what was revealed to us and what was revealed to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq and Ya'qub and upon their children. Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam was a great prophet possessing many attributes. Three qualities are mentioned below. Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam is from the chosen and the exalted people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is stated in the Holy Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, and according to us, they are indeed the chosen, the best. Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam was incredibly noble. As Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, undoubtedly, the noble sons of the noble sons of the noble son of the noble one was Yusuf, son of Ya'qub, son of Ishaq, son of Ibrahim. Meaning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam referred to the forefathers of Yusuf alayhi salam as noble. And who was one of the forefathers of Yusuf alayhi salam? It was none other than Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. Another brilliant quality which Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam possessed was that he would remind people about the hereafter. He would give them the fikr of the akhirah. He would make people remember the hereafter. He would give people the mindset to contemplate on the hereafter. And he would give them the mindset that you are going to die one day and you are going to face your Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question you all of these things which the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam used to do. This is our responsibility now. We need to carry on the mission of the anbiya, as there is no prophet after the prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is going to be no nabi which is going to come after him. There is going to be no rasul which is going to come after him. So it is the duty of the ulama, it is the duty of the ummah to spread the message of the deen, to spread the message of the Islam, and to keep reminding the people. Yes, my dear viewers of Mandi channel, sometimes we speak to an individual, we remind him once, we remind him twice, then we give up on him. Maybe third time guidance was written in his behalf, but because you were lazy, or you were shy, or you were embarrassed to approach him, he was left out from that blessing. So you should never give up helping a Muslim brother. According to the Old Testament, Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam married Rifqa at the age of 40. He had no children for 20 years. Then his prayers were answered, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed him with two sons. Subhanallah. This is a beautiful lesson for our brothers and sisters who are having difficulties in having a child. The Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam kept trying, waited for 20 long years, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them. So do not give up hope. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides people according to when it is best for them. Have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, undoubtedly, the noble son of the noble son of the noble son was Yusuf. Then who was the son of Ya'qub, who was the son of Ishaq, and who was the son of Ibrahim. One very amazing and beautiful thing that we come to find from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam is the concept of family, is the concept of fatherhood, is the concept of being an obedient child. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a man of his word, was a true man of Allah Ta'ala. He was a man in the literal definition of that word, that when the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, he fulfilled it in the first step. He migrated his wife and his child to a certain place. Then he even went on to slaughter his son on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason the children were also steadfast upon this, because the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of deen and the love of the religion was instilled in their hearts. And when somebody has common grounds, then it is easy to work with them. Today we see in our society, we see within our families, that there is a lot of conflict, there is a lot of problems. We blame it on our financial situation, we blame it upon social media, we blame it upon our work stress, we blame it on this and we blame it on that, we blame it on everything else. But what we don't blame it on is our disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That house in which the kalam of Allah is not being recited, that house in which people are not doing sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan, he did not do one sajda, and look where he is now. Ask yourselves, how many sujood have I missed in my life? If Shaitan rejected one sajda and he became from the rajim, he became from the rejected ones, then how many sujood have me and you missed? How many obligatory prayers have me and you missed? And then we say that there is no barakah, there is no unity in our family, there is no blessings in our family. How will there be blessings when those things which bring blessings into your family are far away from your house? You enter the house, you do not give salam. You enter the house, you do not recite Surah Al-Ikhlas. You enter the house, you do not respect your parents. You come, your parents are sitting there, your parents are in need of something, and you totally ignore them because you're more worried about the likes which you're going to get on social media. Your parents are sat there, your parents have called you to do something, but you are too busy being engaged with your friends and this social media that you do not pay attention to your parents. How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakah and blessings to you as a child who is not respecting his parent? And how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant blessings and mercy to that parent who is purposely taking his child away from the religion of Islam? I was speaking to an individual and he said that my son went abroad to study and he became a pilot. He studied for an extensive amount of time. I think he mentioned 6 years. He goes, my son comes to me now and says, father, I don't have an emotional connection with you because you sent me away for studying for so long. The mindset which I attained from there, I do not feel like we have a fatherly, we don't have a father-son relationship. It's as if you're just another person in the house and I come and I see you and I greet you like a business partner. But and the father was saying this himself. And he was saying that I have lost anything in this life, it is my children that I have lost. My children have become successful. They have amazing jobs. They have amazing cars. They have amazing houses. They have a net worth over so many millions. But me and my son cannot sit on the same sofa and look at each other with mercy. Me and my son cannot look eye to eye as a father and son. We look at each other as acquaintances. We look at each other as business partners. When my son comes to talk to me, he talks to me about business. He never comes to me and says, "Father, how are you feeling today? Father, do you want a massage? Father, shall I bring you some food? Father, how has your day been?" No, but rather all he's doing is speaking numbers. The decision is in your hand. If you want your children to respect you, if you want your children to honor you, if you want your children to be upon the line of Islam and Hidayah and guidance, then you need to instill Deen and Islam into them. My dear viewers of Madni Channel, the times we live in are very testing. And you as a father and you as a mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you on the day of judgment, what did you do to raise your children? If you say, "Ya Allah, I gave them a successful education. I told them not to pray. I told them not to go to the masjid. I told them not to partake in ijtima'ats, in the gatherings of Islam, in the gatherings of zikr, but they became very successful." Then you will be responsible for what happens to you on the day of judgment. Even the child on the day of judgment can say, "Ya Allah, I did not have sense. I was a child. My parents could have put me on any line they wanted me to. My foundations were not put properly. And due to that, I was never able to turn back." But you as a child should not use this as an excuse, because once you become baligh, once you hit the age of puberty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you intellect. Allah ta'ala has given you a mind of your own to think. So you have to rationally make these decisions yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who raise our children in the proper Islamic manner. They teach Islam and Deen and the love of Allah to our children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive any mistakes that have been made. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. Lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets.